It is great to be with you guys. There's Jason. What's up, man? Good to see you. Really good to be with you guys. It's always, you know, when you travel from the East Coast of, well, I can feel it a little bit. Bear with me. When you travel from the East Coast of the States to Australia, it's a long trip, and in the natural, it can kind of wear you a little bit, kind of tire you out a little bit. But there's just always something about coming here and being with Joel and Jenny and Dave and Ann, just all you guys, that it's just so refreshing. And it's a short trip for me. It's just a week, but it's just so refreshing about something about just being in the presence of God, but being in His presence with people that are just hungry for Him. You know, it just strengthens you in a way that I don't know that anything else can. And you hear these stories like Hannah's sharing. My goodness, you know, just all that God is doing, and then you realize that, you know, there's probably a lot of places. I mean, this is unique. I don't mean to discount the uniqueness and the brilliance of what's going on here. But right now, all across Australia, all across the world, there's people that are coming together to be in the presence of God. And I think one of the greatest deceptions of the enemy is to make us believe that he is bigger than he is. And that somehow he is, you know, he's got us whooped and we're on the run. You know, maybe not. You know, maybe we're not always as loud as the enemy. But I want to tell you, it strengthens me. And you just see that there's a bright light that's shining. And I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but I'm not sure if it's shining quite as bright anywhere else than it is here. And so it's just a joy. And so thank you guys. David, thank you for bringing me out. I really, really love you. I value your friendship and the gift of God in your life. And so bless you guys and all that you guys are doing. So I'm going to try to unpack some stuff. So I tell you, if you have your Bibles, and we'll try to get through it so we don't keep you forever. You know, there's coffee to be drank and tea and food. So those are important too. I wrote a song the other day. It goes, coffee, coffee, I love coffee. I want more and more of you. Coffee, coffee, oh, sweet coffee. Oh, how I adore you. My wife said it was a hit. But if you have your Bibles or your phone or your favorite device, why don't you turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is faithful to finish what he started. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Have you ever read a verse or you heard a verse and you think, man, that is an awesome verse. It's so good. And I believe it's true for everybody else. Have you ever experienced that? Sometimes it seems that way. You know that what the truth of the verse, it's real, it's there, but sometimes we look at the truth in light of our circumstances, and it's just so hard to see the truth of it in our life. And so sometimes we hear the truth, we recognize the truth, but we don't receive the truth. We're talking about that with hope. You know, sometimes we hear about hope, we sing about hope, but we don't receive it. We don't walk in it. And sometimes that's just how it is with the truth of God, because we don't look at it in light of heaven's perspective. We look at it from our perspective and our circumstance. You know, how could that be? And this morning, though, I want you to not just hear the truth, but I want you to receive the truth that God is going to finish what he started. that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You know, God has never looked down upon the earth and just felt really overwhelmed. Right? God never looked at your life and said, like, what am I going to do now? You know, we had this plan. You know, we had a board meeting and we all voted on it. And this is the plan for your life. And now this happened and I don't know what we're going to do. You know, God has never experienced that. He's never been in that situation. God is faithful. And the generation, or the testimony of every generation that has come before you and the testimony of every generation that will come after you is the same. God is faithful. And he will finish what he started. In the book of Jeremiah, we're told that before we were born that God knew us. He knew us. That word knew, it encompasses our entire life from the beginning to the end, from conception, commencement of our life to the completion of our life. And so before we were born, the entire story of who we are is found in the heart of God. What he began, he will complete. And as I said, sometimes those promises, they're hard for us to believe. We're not talking about do we understand them. Do we understand the words that are put into a sentence and we can speak it back to you with a smile on our face because we're in church. I'm saying it's hard for us to believe when we're at home and we're alone and we're depressed and we're lonely. That's when you know what you believe. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe. And one of the reasons that our belief is shaken and we begin to question whether God's promises apply to us is because we lose heart. We lose heart. The book of Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And hope is often deferred because we're placing our hope in the wrong things. You know, life is a journey, right? Have you noticed that on the journey of life that we often focus on the destination, while God seems to be much more interested in the journey itself, in the process? Because it's in the process, it's in the journey where transformation happens. But we focus on the destination, right? We just want to get there. Because if we could just get there, then everything would be better. Right? If I could just be in a relationship, if I could just know that guy or that girl, then it would all be better. Right? Because we all know that the grass is greener on the other side. You're all getting the sarcasm, right? Okay, so is it thick enough? Is it thick enough? Right. No. It's not greener. But we place our hope in the destination. Because our hope is placed on the destination, the longer it takes for us to reach the destination, the longer we go without hope. And so hope is deferred. And our hearts become sick. And I have found that it's very hard for a sick heart to believe. We see this play out in the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. You know, Abraham says to God, he says, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." This is verse 3. Genesis 15, verse 3. "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." And then the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and he said, "Look up at the sky. Count the stars if you can." And then he said to them, "So shall your offspring be." And in verse 6, it says, "Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." And so God speaks the promise over Abraham. He says, "Look, just go outside. Look up. See the stars. You can't even count them. There's just so many of them." And your descendants are going to be just as numerous. And so God speaks the promise. Abraham believes the promise and he receives the promise. But then in Genesis chapter 16, it says that Sarah, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children. Well, that's interesting because the promise was attached to his offspring, but Sarah wasn't pregnant. And so Abraham heard the promise of God. He believed it. He received it. But he finds himself in a situation where the circumstance is not coming into alignment with the promise. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gotten a prophetic word? You know, the Lord's just going to pour out his blessing on you. The finances are coming. And you're excited until Monday when you get fired. You know, have you ever been there? I see a healing mantle on you and you get a cold. You know, it's like, it just seems like it happens that way sometimes. Where our circumstances, they're just not lining up with the promise. So I know we're in church and I know we act a certain way in church, but just pretend like we're not, okay? Let's just talk real. Okay, I know God is good. There's no question. Sometimes we just got to be real to get to the truth so that we can present where we are so his goodness can really get us. If we present a facade, we're just playing games. So that's my life. When our circumstances don't line up with the promise, what is the temptation? We begin to try to fulfill the promise in our own strength. We try to fulfill the promise in our own time. We try to do it in our own way. And that's what Abraham did, right? He tried to fulfill the promises of God in his own strength. We know the story. He had a child with Hagar. And this is what we need to see. Abraham believed the promise, but he lost heart in the process. He believed the promise, but he lost heart in the process. And what I've discovered, that the promises of God are an invitation to walk with him in the process. The process, it prepares us for the promise. We get excited about the promise, and far too often we attach our hope to the fulfillment of the promise. The only problem is when we attach our hope to the fulfillment of the promise rather than the person of Jesus that is walking with us through the process, when we don't see the fulfillment, our hope is deferred and our heart becomes sick. And then there's those moments where our circumstances are not lining up with the promise. And we begin to try to fulfill the supernatural promise of God in our own ability. There's times where we're in the middle of the process where it just seems like God has forgotten us. Have you ever felt that way? I'm not saying that he has. But have you ever just felt like, man, I can see God on everybody else? And it's wonderful. And you're happy for them. But you're thinking like, what about me? You know, that's awesome. We celebrate. But, you know, what about, what God, have you forgotten about me? In Isaiah 49, we hear the cry of the nation of Israel as they feel forgotten, as they feel forsaken. And this is Isaiah 49, verse 14. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And then comes the response. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she bore? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back. And those who laid you... you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and they come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. And though you were ruined and made desolate, your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people. And those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live. Verse 21, then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone, but these, where did they come from? And this is what the sovereign Lord says. He says, see, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be their foster fathers and queens their nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And then he says something so important. He says, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. You know, there are times in life where our circumstances, they just don't line up with the promise. And in this passage, God's people are crying out. They're just, have you forgotten us? You know, we look around and there's nothing but ruins. Have you forsaken us? And again, have you been there? I have. Maybe more than once. And God's answer to us is the same answer that he gave to them. He says, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. It is impossible for me to forget you. He says, hope in me. Put your trust in me. You won't be disappointed. You know, we put our hope in the destination. We put our hope in the fulfillment of the promise. And God says, no, just put your hope in me. I'm Emmanuel. I am God with you. I am walking the journey with you. Yeah, there's the valley of the shadow of death, but I won't leave you. I'm walking with you. I will not forsake you. It's the goodness of God. There's joy in the journey. We have this thought, if I could just reach my destiny, if I could just reach my purpose, I would be fulfilled. You know, then I could find joy. Could I just say, he is your destiny. There is joy in the journey. One day I was reading this passage in Isaiah 49, and in the spirit I just saw the word dormant seed. Dormant seed, like a seed, if my accent's getting in the way, a seed you put in the ground. Dormant seed. And I'm not a gardener. I didn't even know if there was such a thing. And so I did what we all do when we don't know what to do. I Googled it. And the prophet Google told me that, in fact, there was such a thing as a dormant seed. And I discovered that a dormant seed, the dormancy of a seed, it's the state in which a seed is prevented from germinating. So you put the seed in the ground and it just stays there for a while. There's no sign of life. And seeds can remain dormant for a long time, weeks, months, years. Some can even remain dormant up to 50 plus years. And just think about that, because when you put a seed into the ground, there's an expectation, right? Right, there's an expectation that the seed is going to grow. We're going to see life. And over time, we're going to see fruit. But imagine, you know, you put the seed into the ground and a few days go by and there's nothing. And you're not too concerned because It's just been a few days. A week goes by, and there's still nothing. And, well, it's only been a week, and maybe your seed is just a late bloomer, pun intended. But then weeks turn into months, and months turn into years. And when you first put the seed into the ground, there was this excitement. It was fresh, it was new. There was an anticipation of life that would bring fruit. And every time you would pass by that area, you're just checking, is there life? Is there something new? Is there something that's changed? But so much time goes by, and pretty soon you can hardly remember where you planted it in the first place. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Remember in Genesis, we read that when Abraham believed God, that it was credited to him as righteousness. And when we hear the word of the Lord, when we hear the promises of God, and we believe, there is something that's activated within us. When we hear the word of God, when we hear the promises of God, and we believe, there is a seed that is planted inside of us. And with the seed, there is an expectation that there will be the fulfillment of the promise. But one thing we often forget is that just like with Abraham, there's a process. And I don't mean to repeat myself, but just to drive the point home, we focus on the destination, and God is, He loves the process. He loves the journey because it's where transformation happens. You know, we want God to remove the conflict. And He says, no, I want to do something in your heart so you can be at peace in the midst of the conflict. It's in the process where transformation happens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is from the Message translation. It says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. The transformation comes through the process. We gradually become brighter and brighter and brighter until we become like Him. But when our hope is attached to the destination, we can only find peace once we reach there, once we reach the destination. And we get to the place where our circumstances, they just don't seem to line up with the promise. And we think that the dream is dead. We think that the seed is dead. There's nothing left. And like Abraham, we try to fulfill the promise in our own strength and in our own time, in our own way, and we just do whatever seems right. And all the while, God is just saying, stop focusing on the destination. Stop focusing on the fulfillment of the promise. Just focus on Me. Put your hope in Me. Put your trust in Me. You won't be disappointed. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by really good things. I know you guys don't do this, but I'm from America. And in America, we still do stupid things from time to time. I've probably done two or three this morning. But sometimes we try to spiritualize our unhealthy behavior. By we, I mean me, of course. Right? You know, no, this is My destiny. God, I'm doing it for You. I'm going after it for you. I know I haven't talked to you in 5 years, but it's all about you, Jesus. No, the plan, it's you. It's about you. And yet the focus is us. Like I said, I know none of y'all have done, I have done that. We can get so focused on ourselves and our ministry and our thing that we forget when Jesus came into the earth, he came as a servant of all, a life laid down. We know that God's ways are higher than the heavens are from the earth. He's not going to give us a plan or a purpose that we can accomplish in our own strength. It's like telling your kids they're going to go to Disney World. And they get excited. And then you say, yeah, now you just got to figure out how to get there. That's no fun. He's with us. We have to stay connected. We have to abide in him. Stay connected to the source. As I was Googling the dormant seed, I came across something quite interesting. And one of the characteristics of a dormant seed and the reason that the seed remains dormant sometimes for so long is that it overcomes periods of that are unfavorable for the seed to take root and to actually have life. So in other words, it remains in the ground because there's something in the seed that understands that the conditions that it's in, it's not going to be favorable for it to actually take root and to grow and to bear fruit. It waits. It remains in the soil. It stays hidden for just the right time. And we think God has forsaken us. We think the dream is dead. The promises are dead. You know, the seed has been planted, but there's no signs of life. But God is saying, I have spoken the promise over you. I have protected you. I have been preparing you for such a time as this. We think that God has forgotten us, but he's not forgotten us. We have been written on the palm of his hand. And the work that he has begun, he will bring to completion. He will finish what he started. And there's been some of you that have been holding on to dreams. You've been holding on to words. You've been holding on to promises. Years and decades of your life. And I know what that's like. And I don't mean to minimize the process, because it's hard. And some of you think that the dream is dead, that the promise is void, that God has forgotten you. I just want to encourage you this morning that God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. That what he has started, he will bring to completion. But if I could lovingly encourage you, sometimes we need to, as my wife tells me from time to time, we need to check yourself. Sometimes we have to check ourselves. It's what King David did when he just said, Lord, search me. Is there any wicked way in me? Is there any, have I gotten off course in any way? Am I out of alignment? And I just want to encourage you to look. Search your heart. Allow God to search your heart. Where are we placing our hope? Is it in the destination? When I just obtain this, then there is the hope. Then I can know joy. Then I can know peace. Is it once the promise is fulfilled, once we've made it? Or is our hope found in him? And I just encourage you just to spend some time with the Lord. Because he's just saying, you can trust me. Put your hope in me. You won't be disappointed. So no matter where we are in the process, I just encourage you to embrace the process. Wherever you are in your journey, wherever you are in the walk with the Lord, to embrace it. Do you realize that we started this morning at 9 o'clock worshiping God, and it was beautiful. And it's awesome. We're going to have a lot more moments, but we'll never have that one again. We'll never have it again. And I just encourage you, don't live with this idea that, you know, one day it's going to be amazing. Just choose Him. Put your hope in Him. Fall in love with Him. Allow each moment to be amazing. And there'll be times when you can't see what God's doing. And the seed is still under the soil. But don't lose heart. Continue after Him. He is good. He is faithful. Does that sound like a plan? All right, why don't we stand? I'll pray for you. Father, we're just so grateful for You. Just as I just have this sense, and you just keep your eyes closed and stay in a prayerful posture, and I know the Holy Spirit will just touch your heart. But I just think there's something that God wants to hit on about just being real with Him. Being authentic to where we are. And please hear me. I don't say this in any kind of condemning way, because I think we all of us from time to time, we put on masks. We build walls, and we build walls because we've been hurt, and we build walls that we think that are going to protect us, but what they end up doing is they end up becoming the prison that we live in. And there's just a really hard wall of religion that can entrap us and tells us that everybody else has it sorted and we're all alone. And that we have to put on a facade, we have to become to be accepted. And I just really believe that God wants to just break down some of those walls this morning. And just give us the grace to remove the mask and to begin just to exhale. Man, it wears you out trying to be something that you're not. But when we could just come to God, the good, the bad, the ugly, and we can just lay it all out there, He can bring healing. He can bring restoration. And He can bring freedom. And sometimes we think because of the position that we're in, or what would people say? What would people think? Hey, we just got to get over that fear of man stuff. I know that's hard. But I think there's just a real grace this morning just to be able to be real with God. to tell him your cares, to, when you're hurting, you're hurting. When you're scared, you know you're scared. And he wants to meet us. He wants to be there. And so, Father, I just thank you for the grace that's in this room right now to remove the mask and tear down the walls. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're rushing in to bring comfort, to bring healing. And so, Father, we just give you praise for that. And Jesus, this morning we make a choice, the best that we know how, to just place our trust in you, to place our hope in you, to find joy in the journey, to find life in the process. Would you come? Would you fill us afresh and anew to a place of overflow? We just say, your kingdom come and your will be done in the deepest parts of our being, just as it is in heaven. It's for your glory and for your name's sake we pray. Amen. Amen.